And God's been good to us through the years, and I appreciate the privilege of being able to serve Him. I'm not worthy to serve Him tonight, but I sure appreciate the privilege of being able to be a part of the will of God and the family of God. I don't know a lot of you. I know the Patnalls. I was telling Brother Smith, I was there the night that the Patnalls surrendered to go to China as missionaries. I was in the camp meeting. I was running the sound in that camp meeting the night that they surrendered to go to the field. And my amazing meeting that night, the presence of God moved in that service. The power of God was real. And I don't even know if there was any preaching that night. I can't remember, but I don't even think anybody preached that night. Just folks started going to the altar. Is that right, Brother Jones? I don't believe anybody preached that night. God used that service to give that family the faith that they needed and the direction that they needed to go and do a work for the Lord. I never forget those days. Those are precious days, brother. Amen. Realness of God. Man, we need it in this hour that we live. Let's stand to our feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want to read a few verses. I have nothing profound to say. The doctor will be here in just a little bit. Amen. And do all that and correct everything I mess up tonight. Good to be able to be with Brother Jones. We don't get to see each other a lot, but it's good to be with him and known him ever since I got right with the Lord and surrendered to preach. And we appreciate him, his graciousness and his faithfulness. I thank God for that. That's an encouragement to me. Somebody that's just faithful and continuing in the will of God for their life. I have nothing again, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for the message tonight. I have nothing profound to say tonight. But something that is a great burden in my heart and in my life. Now, I know there's a lot of preachers here tonight, and I feel like that really the message would not be to preachers, but to the lay people of this church and of this meeting. But I'm confident tonight that all of us can gain some strength and maybe get reaffirmed in our hearts some things that are definitely needful in this day. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to begin reading in verse number 14, where the Apostle Paul says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I'm interested tonight in verse number 15, where the Apostle Paul says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth, that they should live, not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them." Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Give us the direction that we need, the liberty that we need in this place to handle the Word of God. I pray that you would, Father, give us direction for our lives, and the Spirit of God would truly move in our heart in this place tonight. I stand where I cannot stand alone, and I truly need your touch and your help. And I pray that, Lord, you would just guide our thoughts, direct our paths, and feed us from the Word of God. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Verse number 15, "And that he," speaking of Jesus, "died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I preached this message last Sunday morning, just what God had dealt with my heart about there at the church, so It's not something that I've had treasured up for a number of years or something that I might preach somewhere else. It's just something that the Lord dealt with my heart about giving to my flock, the church that I pastor. And I want to simply preach tonight from this text with these verses in our thoughts tonight on, would you give your all to Jesus? Or have you given your all to Jesus? We have lost many things over the past several years, things too many, I'm afraid, to mention tonight, as fundamentalists, as Baptists that have embraced the Word of God, believe the Bible. I thought about different terms that seem to have vanished from our vocabulary, things that once we used in our preaching and in our teaching and in our walk with the Lord that seems to have slipped through our fingers, terms like consecration. You don't hear much of that any longer in this world, terms like sanctification or surrendered living or a life that is totally committed unto the Lord. And there were days when folks would stand up and testify how God had worked in their life, and they would make statements like, I gave my all to the Lord. I got right with God tonight, and I've surrendered my will and my life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there's been a lot of false doctrine that has creeped in and surrounded those phrases and those mindsets. People have called it a second work of grace or a second blessing. But I realize tonight that a man is saved by grace through faith. But I do also know that the Word of God commissions us and often gives admonition for us to give our all to Jesus, and that we would live solely and totally for the will of God. You see, that language and that life was represented by people that lived as far away from the edge of carnality as they could get. Now we seem to want to live as close to the edge of the world and as close to the edge of the influence of the world and still feel comfortable within ourselves when we attend the house of God and go to the church house. But those folk back in that day, they wanted nothing to do with the world and its influence. They were hungry for God to be pleased with them and His presence to be real in their life. They would go anywhere, Brother Bob, do anything. They would look any way that they felt like would be pleasing to God and that would honor the Lord that saved them and brought them out of sin. Amen. You know what they had done? They had somewhere along life's way give their all to Jesus. They had somewhere in the path of life committed their ways unto the Lord and trusted God to do great things in their life. What they had done, if they had trusted in the Lord, are you listening to me, with all their heart, and they leaned not unto their own understanding, and in all their ways they acknowledged Him. And you know what God did? God in heaven directed their paths. Has there ever been a time in your life when you got tired of living confused and empty? A life governed by carnal desires, the desires of your heart and your mind from a fleshly perspective, living an unsatisfied and an unfulfilled life? Where are you headed with your life tonight? I realize that this is a camp meeting, this is a jubilee meeting, and a preacher's fellowship, men of God and men of God's wives here. But really, are you really where you need to be with God tonight? When you look around you at the condition this world is in and the direction churches are going in and the cold, callous heart that is represented by people and how they live, are you what you once was for the Lord in reality? As the fire of God that once burned fervent in your soul, is it still burning fervent in your soul tonight? I thought about what drove me when I was lost, Brother Bob. I thought about what what moved me. The Bible said in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, here's what was driving me. You walked according to the course of this world, according to, amen, the spirit of disobedience and the prince of the power of the air. Everything I'd done was governed by my flesh. My conversation in times past was governed by the desires of my mind and my flesh. And I lived my life driven and governed by the energy of a carnal mind and a depraved heart. You'd be amazed at the people in churches. You know, they live as close to the edge as they can live. And the course of the world, you know, well, preacher, I don't believe you can show me a chapter and a verse that would say what I'm doing is wrong, where I'm going is wrong, how I'm living is wrong. You can't really show me in the Bible where it's wrong. But yet they are going the course of the world. They are headed down the path of an ungodly and a depraved society. And they have no mindset at all about what it means to give their all to Jesus. I'm talking about tonight, laying your life on the altar and let God take it, amen, as a potter and mold it and make it into what He wants it to be. I would to God tonight that the Lord could work in our hearts in these days and let us realize all that is involved in a surrendered, a submitted life, whatever you want to call it, a consecrated life, a separated life unto the Lord. Paul exhorts us in 15, that verse 15, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but they should live unto Him. As Christianity, and I'm afraid this is where we're at tonight in America, has Christianity become a political position rather than a spiritual life? Is that what's happened to us? Is it just like we are just a conservative fundamentalist because of a set of rules, because of principles and doctrine? And have we lost sight of what it means to have spiritual life, Brother Jones? I'm talking about something that lives and moves and works in our soul. Have you ever given your all to Jesus? I wonder if you'd give your all to Jesus tonight. You see, there's many things in these verses, not my message tonight, that would motivate us, that should drive us, that should cause us to desire that Christ would have everything about us. I thought about it this morning. I woke up, began to read over these verses again, began to meditate on what the Lord would have me to try to preach tonight to you that are here. And I thought about the different things that are represented in the verses that I have read to you tonight that should cause us to not live, cause us to desire to not to live unto ourselves, to cause us to thirst for living for God and walking with the Lord. In verse number 14, the Bible said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." I thought about, man, I ought to be motivated by the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus. I mean, you know, it's hard to fathom the love of God. Nobody has ever been able to take words from our language and describe or define the word so that is found in John 3:16. I mean, the magnitude of God's love reaches beyond our imagination. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, "And to love, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." I mean, it is a love you can know, but you can never fathom. I'm telling you, that's amazing, isn't it? It's like the songwriter said, if we would think the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, he said to write the love of God above, it would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. It's the saints and the angels.
angel song. Has that ever constrained you? Have you ever stopped and thought about what drove Jesus, the Son of God, to lay His life down at Calvary and to give His all for you? That's what these verses are about tonight. Christ died for all. Christ lives for all. And He desires that you give Him your all tonight. The redeeming love. I thought about the reach that He has for the lost in verse 15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. I'm glad tonight that He wasn't just looking for a select group, a nationality. Just a few. Thank God, I'm telling you, He reached the lost. It makes no difference where they live, what color their skin is, what language they speak tonight. I'm telling you, Jesus, the Son of God, I know it's an old story, but you need to be reminded of it tonight. I'm telling you, He laid His life down on Calvary, and He shed His blood for the entire world. And tonight, there's not a man on this planet that cannot bow down, repent of their sin, and call on the redeeming Savior and the love of God, the reach of Calvary. May God save His dying soul. Thank God, amen. I'm telling you, the reality of that truth should cause us to want to give Jesus our all. In verse 16 and 17, he describes to us his regenerating life. He talks about how that those that are saved by the grace of God have been created anew in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I was driven by sin, and I was living a wicked and an ungodly life, and I was headed nowhere. And I'm telling you, the night that I got saved by the grace of God, the night that Jesus changed my life, I'm telling you, I walked out of that building and I'd experienced something I'd never experienced before. I had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. I'm telling you, God miraculously changed my life, and I never have got over that day, thank God. I left out of that building that night with a love for the people of God in my heart, for a hunger to know what was in this book, and a desire to walk with the God of heaven. I'm telling you, He changed my life. Are you listening to me tonight? He changed my life. He set me free from sin. He got me out from under the dominion of sin and the bondage of sin. I'm telling you what, man, he regenerated me, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I never have been the same. And I'm telling you, when I think of what God done for me that night, I should renew every day of my life, or renew every day of my life, and reaffirm every day in my life that God desires to have every ounce of me. And I should be more than willing and more than motivated to give Him my all. Does He have all of you tonight, preacher? Every bit of you? Preacher's wife tonight? Does He have all of you? Well, I'm a preacher's wife. That doesn't make any difference. Does He have all of you tonight? I've been preaching for years. I've been preaching for nearly 30. Are you listening to me? But there's been days in my life when things have happened and I had to get in an altar, get by myself along with God and say, Lord, You don't have every bit of me. You brought me through a storm, taken me through a trial, and this is something that I need to lay at Your feet. I need to submit my way, and I need to give my life, amen, holy. I'm talking about under the will of God. Amen. We should be motivated by His redeeming love, His reach for the lost, His regenerating life, the power of reconciliation that is manifested unto us. The Bible said that He reconciled us to Himself. It is the Lord, L-O-R-D, reconciling us to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, amen. Because of the work of Calvary and what Jesus done, I was at enmity with God. I'm telling you, my flesh, everything about me was an enemy of God. But the night that I got saved by the grace of God, and each day that I live, Christ has reconciled me to His Father. You have the ability to pray tonight, and you have the option and opportunity to walk with God and to have fellowship with the God of heaven tonight, all because Jesus Christ paid the price that needed to be paid to reconcile you unto himself and unto his Father. Amen. Have you given your all because of the establishment of that relationship tonight? The fact that you can pray. Amen. Sometimes we have a very twisted view of presenting truth. Amen. Isn't it strange, Brother Donnie, how we preach prayer, that folks ought to pray, that folks should pray. Why don't you pray? Where do you pray? When do you pray? Why don't you pray? Constantly preaching on the need to pray when we can pray. And there's nobody in the history of humanity, Brother Jones, that ever had the power and the access to pray like we have to pray. And yet we have to try to preach and browbeat people and try to get them to pray. But all that is a reality, amen, that exists in our life tonight because of what Christ done when he reconciled us to God and the veil was rent and access was made available. I got to hurry. He gave us a reason to live. We're ambassadors in verse 20. We're representatives of Christ now. Then we are ambassadors for Christ. I should be motivated in that God just didn't save me and just leave me on the side of the road. But God gave me a purpose in life. God has given me a predetermined plan that he has ordained in his sovereignty for me to fulfill with my life. And I know that's a mouthful tonight, but that's a plan no child of God is going to escape. We have been predestined to be conformed into his image each day. Day that we live, every problem that we face, every storm that we go through, God has sovereignly designed those things to make us like Jesus so that God himself could be, listen to me now, so that God himself could reveal who he is and what he is in the world that we live in. God desires for his image to be seen in this world. The only way that that image is going to be seen in this world is if Jesus Christ, who is the expressed image of God, is seen in this world. Are you listening? I need you to listen now. And the only way that the image of Christ is going to be seen in this world is through what the Apostle Paul said when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah, thank God. That should motivate you. That should stir me. That should drive me to give Jesus my all. Oh, so much could be said about the motivation that is manifest in these verses. His redeeming love, his reach for the lost, his regenerating life, the fact that he reconciled us to the Lord, the reason that he has given us to live, a plan and a purpose for us to fulfill, but then the righteousness that lives. Amen. I can't live within my own self the righteousness that God expects. But the Bible tells us that he knew no sin, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Tonight, thank God, I am holy and pure and sanctified and just in the eyes of a sovereign and a holy God because of what Jesus has put inside of me. I ask you tonight, would you give him your all? Would you tonight? Preacher, does he have every ounce of you tonight? Would you give him your all tonight? You see, giving him your all involves a lot of things. Giving him your all tonight involves giving him your life. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Can you say what you're doing is being done to the glory of a God that is sovereign and holy?
I thought about what it meant to give the Lord your life. And I know that's a pretty broad statement. And there's more things than I could ever mention tonight that involved in giving God your life. But simply it's this: if you give God your life, you give Him your members. I could quote, most everybody in this building I'm sure could quote Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice." We know those verses. We've heard them quoted. We've heard them taught and preached from. But that's talking about your members. This hand right here. This hand right here that can hold a bottle of liquor. God can take it and use it for the glory of God. These feet right here that can carry you down paths of sin and ungodliness, can carry you down a street corner, amen, with a gospel track in your hand and a message on your heart to tell some sinner about the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, this body that we say, that we often say is our worst enemy, these eyes, these ears, these hands, these feet, oh, if I could just get shed of them, if I could just rid myself of all the troubles that this old body causes me. And we long for the hope of glory, and the hope of glory is one day to stand in the face of Jesus and be able to be just exactly how He is and what He is. And we'd say, oh, that we'll drop this old body and seize the everlasting prize. And truly, what a day that'll be. But this old body that we claim causes us so much trouble and so much problem. If we could give our all to Jesus, that very same body can be yielded to the will of God and molded in the hand of a sovereign God and used to do something great for the cause of Christ, to reach out into this world. God's interested in your members. He's interested in your mouth. He said in Colossians 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." You sang in the choir a while ago, and I'm not being mean to you, I'm just being honest. You sang in the choir. Did Jesus have all of you back there just a minute ago? I mean, were you giving it your all? You just moving your mouth? Or was you giving it your all? Was you singing with everything you had? Or were you just taking up space? Amen. That's what I'm preaching. I'm telling you what, when I got right with God, I'm loud anyway. I used to be in a bluegrass band. I picked a guitar and played the dobro in the bluegrass band when I got right with the Lord. And they bought all this equipment. I mean, they had a big old rack, man. It looked like a coffin. It took four men to carry it in a building. It had amplifiers and EQs. I mean, it was a big old stack of stuff that high. They had speakers they'd put up on stands. Brother Donnie, I mean, you'd take two people to pick them up and set them on the stand. We'd go in a little old building. Old folks would come in there and hear us, and they'd look at all that stuff. Man, you'd think it's going to tire up. Amen. Pull their handkerchiefs out, stick them in their ears. They said, man, they're going to. They bought every bit of that stuff so that they could try to turn me down some kind of way. I mean, I was just loud. Y'all don't believe that because the way I'm preaching tonight, but I'm just loud. Amen. I can't help it. Amen. It's just the way I am. Amen. I sing loud. When they're singing in the choir, we probably about 100 kids up in the choir singing, and I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm trying my best to sing louder than every one of them. He wants your mouth. Does He have your mouth tonight? All you talk about hunting and fishing, the deer you killed last year, or the romance book you read last week? Is anybody listening? Amen. What do you ladies talk about all the time? You talk about something. Amen. I had a young man got right with God, been out in sin for 4 years, raised in our Christian school, Bible quiz on our Bible quiz teams, and he got right with God the other night between 12 and 5:30 in the morning at one of my men's house. Hey man, living. I got a wedding. I got to get out of here tomorrow. I got a wedding on Wednesday night. Found out about it last night. Hey man, he'd been living with a girl whose husband is dead, and they got to get married. They want to get married. Are you listening to me tonight? And I'm telling you, he sat in my office yesterday afternoon and talked to me about the things of God. I had a conversation with him that I'd never had in all my life. His daddy said, "I talked to that boy this past week, and I've never in all of my life as his daddy ever talked to him
him about the things he talked to me about. I'm telling you, when you give Jesus your all, he'll get your mouth.
I've been to preach. I don't go to preacher's fellowships. We used to have one in Kentucky, and it blew up like a cheap watch not long after I got there. Amen. I mean, it flew all apart. And the reason it did is everybody was trying to pastor everybody's church. You know, one of them kind of situations. But anyway, it blowed up not long after I got there. But you'd go to the meeting and sit down in the dinner table. Somebody would say something about the Bible or say something about a verse. And they'd, one of them would say, hey, man, let's not talk about shop talk. Don't want to have any kind of spiritual conversation. What y'all been talking about back there? We've lost sight of the things of God in this generation. We've toyed around with the flesh so much. We've flirted around with the world so much. But I'm telling you, we're in a mess tonight in America. He's interested in your mouth. He's interested in your moments. You give God all your whole life, he's going to need your moments. I read this this past week when I was putting this thought together that God had dealt with my heart about. I don't know who wrote it, but it was good. Somebody said, time is the heritage of every person. That's something to think about. Time is the heritage of every person. Whether a king or a street sweeper, an astronomer or a truck driver, a business tycoon or a grocery clerk, each of us has the same number of hours. 86,400 seconds in a day. You may lose your job and get it back. You may lose your house and get another one. You may lose money by bad choices and be able to regain those finances. But every second you lose, you can never in a million years gain it back. You see, God is interested in your moments. James said your life is but a vapor. How much time, how much of your time do you give to him? He said, preacher, I work a job. I work two jobs. Well, do you do it to the glory of God? You know, we've lost sight of teaching our people the sacrament of living. If a man's working and providing his family an income, he's in the will of God. He's driving nails, screwing on bolts, driving a truck. He's serving God. We've lost sight of they think it's just all carnal, but that's serving God. That's doing the will of God for your life. But it's a problem. It rests within our heart and in our mind in that we're not doing it with that thought or that mindset that what I'm doing is being done by the strength that God has given me and the ability that God has given me. And it is demanded of me in the Word of God to fulfill my obligation to my family. He's interested in your mouth, your moments, your members. He's interested in your mind. You give him your life, he wants your mind. On Father's Day this year, a man that had been a Sunday school teacher in a church and had raised his family in the house of God and had been so dedicated that anybody in that church would have said that he is probably one of the best Christians in this church. That's what they would say about him. He laid in a bathroom and covered himself up to his neck with a blanket. He took a .44 Magnum into his chest and pulled the trigger and killed himself. On Father's Day, his daughter's birthday. He wrote each one of them a letter. One of those girls is a member of my church. One of the daughters. He would walk in the church and everybody would esteem him as being a great Christian. I'll go as far as to say this. The man that pastored that church is living in my basement right now because they voted him out of that church because that family left that church. And here's what they say. Here's what they said. They said, if a man like Kirk would take his family out of this church, there's something bad wrong with leadership. And they voted the man out of the church that came out of our church and was there for 9 years. And he had had a problem with pornography for 27 years. He got caught on the job with it. It so shamed him that he took his life. You would be amazed how much of it's right here tonight.
Yes, sir.
There ain't a teenage boy in this building tonight that's got access to the internet or a smartphone that hasn't been exposed to pornography in one level or another. Now, I'm telling you what, now that might knock a starch out of this meeting, but you'd be amazed at the addiction that's right here. You may be under control, but you'd be amazed. I mean, the statistics are overwhelming. 80% of pornography is free. That 80% is used for bait. 80% of what your children and families and grown adults feast their mind upon and wreck their mind with is free. Touch of a button. You listening to me tonight? You can take the revenue of NBC, CBS, and ABC and combine them all three together, and it will not touch the revenue that the other 20% of paid pornography produces in a year. You can take every basketball, baseball, and football franchise in America, and it will not touch the revenue that that 20% brings in America. I'm telling you tonight, you better listen to me. I'm telling you tonight, our young men and young ladies and many of our young families are living in a world that does not exist. Cause of that. I could give you statistic after statistic that would blow your mind, where children are exposed to pornography from the day they're 11 years old to the point that they have no desire at all to have a mate in life. They can't even think about the reality of having a mate in life because they are so consumed with things that are not real. They don't go fishing, they play fishing games. They don't go hunting, they play hunting videos. They don't go race a car or a go-kart. Anybody listen to me? Or a motorcycle, you know why? They want to play a game about it. They live in a world that it's not real. Some of these boys are looking at me thinking, Daddy's going to throw my video games away. He ought to throw them in the fireplace. I'm just telling you, it's put our young people in an unreal world. And everything, I'm telling you, there's a chemical in your brain that is called dopamine, I believe is the way it's pronounced, and it produces a chemical in your brain through that stuff, through addiction, and I'm telling you, it produces something in you that puts you in an unrealistic world, and it is an addiction that you will reach out and grab, and it will wreck your mind. Paul Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Think on these things. It burdened my heart. We probably got 30 or 40 babies that's under the age of 5 years old in our church. Probably over 100 or some odd young people that's under the age of 30. And I'm telling you, moms, when they get 12 and 13, will hand them an iPhone or a smartphone. Amen. It's almost like dropping them off in an adult bookstore and letting them go window shopping. Their minds are warped. It's a mess. But I'm going to tell you what tonight. If you give Jesus your all, He wants your mind. He wants to regulate what you think about. He wants your meditations to be upon Him. If I told you the statistics of how many people that are acclaimed fundamentalists are hooked on pornography, you wouldn't believe it. But it's in the 90s. It's in the 90s that people that claim to be fundamentalists, and they've done a survey of thousands of them, they say that they have some addiction to some level of pornography. And that, by that statistic, it's here tonight. The devil has and destroyed in the minds of things. He wants your life. I got to hurry. I have so much I could say. If you give Him your all, you'll have to give Him your life. If you give Him your all tonight, He'll want your love. Deuteronomy tells us that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. I believe Jesus said heart, mind, and soul. I believe that's right. Your heart is where your passion is at. And when you have a love and a passion for something, it will cause you to react. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, and that purpose was fulfilled in Daniel's life because of what kind of passion was in his heart. Your mind revolves around your purpose. Let's give you this. There's a lot can be said about it. They had a mind to work in Nehemiah. You know what they did? They built a wall. Your soul is your personality. Man lay lifeless when God had created him from the dust of the ground, but when he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. You can love him with your heart. You can love him with your mind. You can love him with your soul. He wants your love, but he wants all of it. In other words, he wants your passion. He wants your purpose. And he wants your personality. He wants all those aspects that describe your ability to love and have affection. And he wants it toward him. I could say so much. There's so much else I'm sure you could add to the message tonight. But if you give Jesus your all, he's going to want your loyalty. I don't preach out a lot. I have a secretary. If you call the church, bless her heart. She, you know, can I speak to Pastor Maskell? What do you need? And I don't tell her to say this. And she knows it's a preacher because she's got the, you know what I'm saying, that collar thing on. She'll know who it is. She's not rude. Well, sometimes she is. Well, I wanted to talk to him about a meeting. He's a pastor. I mean, I could be a flaming evangelist, praise God, if it wasn't for her. He's got things to do here. Now, she just does that to people she knows, but she's about half crazy. That's why she does such a good job, I guess. Amen. Are you listening? But I don't get out a whole lot. But I've preached at some places, and I've had pastors say, now, we're going to have the meeting this week of the month, because if we do it any other time in that time frame, you know, they having softball tournaments and soccer's going on this week. And you know, my boy plays Little League, or these boys here play Little League, and they won't be at church. And so we got to work around all that. Would you give Jesus your all tonight? Your loyalty, your faith, your fervency, your faithfulness. Give it all to him. We've lost that. We want just enough to get to heaven. Those days of people, as my pastor would say, throw up the white flag of surrender, throw in the towel. I've heard him say that a million times. Throw in the towel, raise up the white flag of surrender. I've heard him talk about flipping that switch on that broke leg and walking down the aisle of the meeting there at Camp Zion when he surrendered his all to the Lord. I've heard testimonies of these men of God, how God had worked in their life. I was there when Brother Bob and his wife surrendered to go to the field, and just seeing God move in the lives of them. We're just trying to keep it together, aren't we, gentlemen? We're just really, to be honest now, we're just trying to keep it from falling apart. And what we need desperately, for people to give their all to Jesus again. I wonder if you do that tonight as we stand to our feet. The pastor is coming as we pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here tonight and the opportunity to preach the Word of God. I pray you'd take, Lord, these thoughts and use them in the hearts of people. God, I just pray tonight that truly again, afresh and anew, we would realize where we're at and what we need to do in giving our all to Thee, unreservedly, totally surrendering our will to the things of God. Consecrate, sanctify. Father, just work in our hearts tonight whatever needs to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.